Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. Tonight, it is a pleasure to welcome back in our studios the famous and talented Ed Marquardt is here. Welcome back, Ed.
Thanks, Mike.
Ed is celebrating his 30th year as the conductor of the Rhode Island Civic Chorale and Orchestra, which is celebrating its 60th year in existence. And a performance is coming up on March 25th. Which is going to be at the Cathedral of Saints Peter and Paul in Providence. We'll give you all the information about that, but let's catch up with Ed first and tell us what's new and exciting.
Well, this is a great concert for us, as it always is, because it features the four winners of our collegiate vocal competition, and I'll get to that in a little while. But we've commissioned a work from a very famous composer, Roger Cicci, and we're happy to have him here in the studio as well to talk about this work. It's in honor of our 60th year, and we couldn't be more pleased that Roger accepted our commission to do this work.
Well, Roger, welcome to the beautiful studios of WCRI in downtown Exeter. Welcome.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here.
Nice to meet you, and I'd like to find out a little bit more about you. Are you a Rhode Island person?
Well, I'm from the Midwest, but I've been living here for 17 years now. So
17 years, you're almost a Rhode Islander.
Yeah, maybe those roots are starting to go through the floor now.
So. Another 10 years or so, and we'll consider you. When you say Midwest, we're guessing by our show conversation, Iowa, correct?
Well, a little bit of Iowa, Illinois, Ohio, Pennsylvania.
Okay, and music always in your background?
Oh, yes. Parents took me to a music piano lessons when I was, I think, 5 years old, and it just mushroomed from there.
Okay, and commissioned to do a work for the Rhode Island Civic Chorale and Orchestra. Let's get a little bit of background from your perspective of how does something like that happen, because I can ask Ed, he's going to give me his side, but now you get a phone call, you get a letter, an email, how does that happen?
Yeah, well, getting commissions is unique because you don't advertise for them. They find you. Usually it's through another piece of music or body of works that you've done. They get to know your work. They think that they want to have a new piece written from you then. So it's usually sit around and wait for the phone to ring, which it does frequently in my house. And I was ecstatic to get a call from Ed to say, you know, we want you to try something different. I do a lot of instrumental music, orchestra music, a couple film scores, but this is my first... And some vocal music, but this is my first with a orchestra vocal piece like this.
Excellent. Now, I've had the privilege of interviewing Keith Lockhart and John Williams both on this show in previous years, and he was talking about a similar thing, but it seemed like you always went to him for the same kind of music. Do people come to you for the same kind of music all the time, or are you...
Not necessarily. Again, I think, you know, when they listen to the body of work I have and that, they kind of get an idea of what I'm capable of. I personally like when they leave it open-ended. You know, we want your best work, so we're not going to try to dictate what we want you to write.
And, Ed, you just hope it doesn't come out as a country and western hit, right?
That would be all right with me. Whatever Roger comes up with is fine. Roger, incidentally, won the regional Emmy for his film score, An American Saint Nick. And last month, or within the last 6 weeks, on PBS, Remembering Pearl Harbor, maybe many of your listeners heard or saw that, narrated by Tom Selleck.
Yeah.
The score to that documentary was also by Roger Cicci.
Wow. All right. Okay. We usually have extra, you know, hors d'oeuvres and stuff when we have a big time stuff.
No, you don't,
studio.
Mike. Don't give us that.
Roger, it's very interesting to me when someone can create something like that. Where do your initial ideas come from, in any particular place? Do you wait for the client to say, here's my thought, or talk us through that a little bit.
Well, a lot of the commissions I have, I've kind of already thought a lot about, and just keep it in the back of my head. And if the right commission comes for the what I've already kind of thought about, and I can marry them together, that's what I go with. This was a little more unique because we were going to work with a text by Langford Hughes, and that was the inspiration of it. Reading something that was that strong and really grabbed your heartstrings and provided the motivation, inspiration to write the music for.
All right.
What Roger and I met for coffee, and I gave him a list of poems that I thought might work for us. And he latched on to the Langston Hughes poem, and after he did that, I said, well, it's my favorite on the list, too. So it's called I Dream a World. And if you know the Martin Luther King Jr., I Have a Dream, you somehow might think that Martin Luther King Jr. was inspired by Langston Hughes to write this poem.
May have been.
Hughes was a big... an icon, really, in the Harlem Renaissance, and just wonderful poet.
Well, why don't we get to a piece of music? We should explain to the audience that they're not going to hear this piece on the show today. If they want to do that, they have to go to the Cathedral of Saints Peter and Paul in downtown Providence on March 25th at 7:30 p.m., and that's where you'll get to hear I Dream a World, I'm sorry. Almost mispronounced the title there. But right now, Ed, what's the first piece of music you're going to have for us to get us in the mood?
Well, we're doing two other major works on the program, the Symphony No. 35 in D major of Mozart, known as the Haffner, and the Mass in Time of War by Joseph Haydn. And let's listen to a bit of Mozart first. And this is the first movement from the Haffner Symphony. It came into being in 1782, and it was written for the ennoblement of Sigmund Haffner, the son of one of Mozart's patrons. Thank you.
Roger, I want to go back to you now and talk about the motive of how to put all this music together. How does that happen?
Well, you used the right word, motive. You've got to find the string that's going to bind the entire work together, and you know, some kind of a melodic makeup and some kind of significance of how that's going to be utilized throughout the piece. In this particular piece, after reading a poem, it struck me that you know, it talks about humankind at odds and humankind working together, and so I came up with kind of a concept of using melodic intervals. In a musical alphabet, we have an octave is the largest distance within a musical alphabet. Obviously, we can go beyond that with compound intervals, but I'll use the octave as one that the vocalist can sing as well. You go beyond that, and we're in trouble. But so I chose that kind of to be a metaphor for the distance humankind can be, meaning, you know, greed, you know, selfishness, mm-hmm. everything like that. And obviously the smallest interval we can have in music is a minor second, where the two frequencies are very close and kind of want to gravitate to each other. So believe it or not, the piece is based on those two intervals. It begins with the choral part after an introduction with the instrumentalist of the tenor singing an octave, kind of representing that. And kind of the idea of having that metaphor in there was to kind of to show, looking at that poem kind of from a philosophical standpoint about how humankind is gotten and continues to be apart, but we can be so close together. As I told a chorus when I rehearsed with them on Wednesday, is that, you know, what happens if everyone woke up one day and decided, let's be kind, let's be thoughtful to each other? I mean, how quickly we can change society, as the poem suggests. And so that's going to be the makeup, both melodically and harmonically, for the piece. In fact, I have that a chord made up of those two intervals. So you get this kind of dissonant quality, the octave providing kind of a stable. And I look at that as a stable interview, and it's just like our comfort with, it's okay to, you know, have greed. It's okay to, you know, have classes of people and look down on people and not get along as well. At the same token, with the closeness of the minor second, it's a dissonant interval. It's like, yeah, we have to work a little bit at this. It's going to be a little, you know, mm-hmm. Give and take in that. But how much closer we can be to a more peaceful and
perfect world,
exactly, yeah. In that. So that's how I looked at that poem. And, you know, you study the poem, you look at it, and what kind of connections can you make from that to the music? Because really, what you've done is you've taken words, which is kind of a left brain housed entity, and you're adding the right hemisphere to it. Mm-hmm. The thing that looks at the left brain is saying, you know, what's being said. The right brain saying, how is it being said? And so that's what I'm trying to do with the music, is paint that scenario, how it's being said. And then you have the words, and hopefully it'll be a complete piece of music. Would that make sense?
Yeah.
I would chime in here and say, Mike, these harmonies that Roger uses would be very, very close to what you guys in your quartet perform.
Right.
And you probably know also, when Roger talks about one part having an F sharp and the other a G, that half step apart, they do tend to gravitate toward each other.
Oh,
because
yeah.
We don't have, as instrumentalists do, fingers, buttons, keys, to make sure we have an F sharp and a G. The voices tend to gravitate toward each other.
Right.
So we're hopeful that second is maintained throughout the work.
Well, there you go. All right, let's get to one more piece of music before we take our first break. What do you have for us, Ed?
This will be the minuet from the same symphony by Mozart, the Hofner, number 35.
We'll listen to that, then take a short break and be back with more.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Maino, and we're sitting with Ed and Roger, which are going to be performing on March 25th at the Cathedral of Saints Peter and Paul. Actually, Roger won't be performing as such. His work will be performed by the renowned Civic Chorale and Orchestra. And Ed, I noticed when Roger was explaining some of the music, he said that he had rehearsed with the chorus. Wouldn't it be great if you could find every composer to come and rehearse with your chorus before you do a performance?
Maybe, maybe not. Roger happens to be very good. Roger's a well-established conductor, by the way. So.
What a great response. Maybe, maybe not.
Well, we have to be truthful on this show.
Mozart might not be welcome. That's right. Well, tell us about a little bit more about Roger's involvement in this program.
Well, when I've approached Roger, and I must say that I had heard a lot of Roger's music played by the Rhode Island College Wind Ensemble under Dr. Franzblau. And a board member of ours, who happens to know Roger, suggested when we were scouting around for a composer, suggested Roger's name, and, well, of course.
Why didn't I think of that myself?
Yeah, exactly. So one of the things we talked about was the orchestration, and the Mozart and the Haydn piece on the program are essentially the same orchestration, and Roger thought that was okay, except could I have a couple of percussion players? And now I'm going to turn it back over to Roger.
Percussion, Roger. Percussion is important?
Yes. You know, it's kind of an underlooked section of the ensemble. You didn't have a lot of that in the classical period, but nowadays you think about Copland and Bernstein and that, and how much color is created by the percussion. And I have a problem every time I go to a classical concert and listen to a Mozart piece. I'm adding percussion as the piece is being played. You know, cymbal here, a xylophone there, whatever.
And you bring them all with you.
Yeah. But it's such a unique flavor, and I guess I learned a lot from Persichetti, because his concept was, you know, you've got a woodwind section and a brass section and a percussion section. They all are kind of equal, so I kind of utilize a lot of percussion just because of the multitude of colors they get. This piece, I think, uses about at least a dozen instruments. One of the things, since this piece has a little bit of jazz harmony to it, I used a vibraphone, because it's a vibraphone is such a great blending quality. It blends easily with the flutes, with the brass, and obviously can cover a lot of the melodic material as well. So I used a vibraphone. But there's everything from snare drum to finger cymbals. I think, do I have regular cymbals?
Chimes, regular cymbals.
Yeah, just, you know, and not just to be hoaxy about the piece, but just really kind of create some interesting colors and add to it.
Yeah,
it
really does
add
a lot.
So I hope the chorus won't be totally surprised and shocked when they hear the first rehearsal with the orchestra, but there'll be hopefully some very pleasing sounds.
The only rehearsal with the orchestra, I might add.
Well, this is going to be a first for Conducting Conversation. Roger has another appointment this evening, so we're going to excuse him and thank him very much for coming in today. It was a pleasure to meet you, and I'm sure this will be a wonderful concert. Thank you.
Well, it's great being here. Thanks so much for having us.
Ed, we're going to continue with you and ask you what the next piece of music is.
This is the finale, the last movement of the Hofner Symphony by Mozart. I might add here that musicologist Louise Kyler thought that this 35 is the first of Mozart's really great symphonies in his mature phase, which for Mozart began at age 22. So,
yeah, all right.
You know, and then he didn't last much longer than that.
now that we're alone in the studio, do you have anything you want to talk to Roger about Roger now that he's gone?
He's a wonderful man and a great composer.
Well, we're glad that he was able to be with us for the first half of the show, and now we'll finish up the second half of the show with Ed Marquardt, who is celebrating his 30th anniversary with the Rhode Island Civic Chorale and Orchestra. And they're going to be having their next performance on March 25th at the Cathedral of Saints Peter and Paul in beautiful downtown Providence, 7:30 p.m. If you'd like to get tickets, the easiest way to do it is to go to the website, which is ricco.org, or you can do it the old-fashioned way and call 401-521-5670. And that'll get you in. Don't miss it. It's going to be a wonderful event. And then after that, there's one more event for this season, which will be on June 3rd. And we'll tell you a little bit about that in the next segment. But right now, Ed, let's get to our next piece of music.
This is Haydn's Mass in Time of War, which is also known as the Pauken Messe or the Timpani Mass. It was written in 1796, and it's one of Haydn's last six masses. It's quite lengthy, about 45 minutes. After Napoleon, or during the time of Napoleon, is why this is called Mass in Time of War. And during this time, no Austrian could mention the word peace. And leading up to 1796, no Mass could be written that was of any length at all. It had to be part of the service. The ban was lifted in 1796, and Haydn came up with this great piece. You'll hear the timpani most prominently in the last movement, so let's wait and talk about it then. This is the first movement, the Kyrie.
We'll listen to that, then take a short break and be back with more.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Maino, and we're sitting with Ed Marquardt, who is celebrating his 30th year with the Rhode Island Civic Chorale and Orchestra as the conductor, and the chorale and orchestra themselves are celebrating their 60th year in existence. They're going to be putting on a program at the Cathedral of Saints Peter and Paul in beautiful downtown Providence on March 25th at 7:30 p.m., and Ed, the title of that program is called Tomorrow's Talent Today, and that probably means something.
It does indeed. This is another anniversary for us. It is the 10th anniversary of the inauguration of our collegiate vocal competition, which is open to students fully enrolled in universities, colleges, or conservatories in Connecticut, Massachusetts, and Rhode Island. And we had 22 competitors from the conservatories and so on in October, and the judges chose four to appear as a quartet in this concert. And they are Kyle Buonfiglio, who is a tenor and attends Rhode Island College, Wei-En Chan, who is a countertenor, and this is a first for us, for one of the students to be a countertenor, who attends New England Conservatory. Baritone Matthew Chastain is from UMass Amherst, and Mahoko Taniguchi is from the Boston Conservatory at Berkeley.
Okay.
So we're thrilled to have these four young artists performing with us in Haydn's Mass in Time of War.
Now, when you said 22 were the finalists, how does one get to be into becoming a finalist?
Well, these are the four finalists. They're right. 22 initially entered, and they send us an application, and they have to have a signature of their voice teacher stating that he... all of the things that we need, which are, is he talented or she talented, and are they a full-time student at one of the
in one of the three states?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's great, and that's going to be they're going to perform as a quartet versus individual solos.
It's a mixture. There are individual solos, and they are also some quartet work as well.
Because I've got some great arrangements I could give them for quartets.
Perhaps when the concert is finished, you could meet them at the door.
Well, there is
a reception you could hold forth there.
I'll teach them some songs at the end. We can. By the time you're done with it, they'll be singing some Sinatra tunes.
They'll be making money.
All right. And, there are other things on the busy schedule of yours, and another one coming up on June 3rd. Just want to touch base with that and talk about what's going to be happening with Glorious Brahms on that date. A couple interesting performers then also.
Yes. The Brahms German Requiem is one of the pieces that is closest to my heart, and since it's our 60th and my 30th, I was able to convince the board to program this mighty work. Also on the program is an instrumental piece, the Variations on a Theme of Haydn by Brahms, and of course the theme is not by Haydn, but that's okay, it's still known that way. Mm-hmm. And the soloists are two really terrific soloists. Diana McVeigh is a soprano, and David Kravitz is the baritone.
Now, David Kravitz looks a little bit like, in the brochure, like the star of Hamilton from Broadway.
He does. I hadn't noticed that, but yes.
Yeah, see that? There you go. So those of you that can't get into Hamilton, you probably want to get down to the cathedral on June 3rd.
Even if you can get into Hamilton, you'll want to get to the cathedral.
All right. What piece of music do you have for us next?
This is the opening part of the second movement of the Mass, the Gloria.
Oh,
Ed, I want to give the phone number and website one more time for everyone so they make sure they can get tickets to these great events. The one that's coming up on March 25th at the Cathedral of Saints Peter and Paul in Providence, and that's going to start at 7:30. And then again on 7:30 p.m. on June 3rd, again at the Cathedral. And in order to do that, you can go to the website, which is RICCO.org. RICCO.org or call 401-521-5670. Or you can go to Ed's house and knock on the door.
You could try.
You could try. He may not answer, but you could try that. This is the kind of thing where we talk about a lot of events happening during the year, and people sometimes become interested and say, how can I get involved with that? And then they can, right?
Absolutely. We hold auditions at least twice a year. There'll be auditions after our June 3rd concert within a week, and then again in the fall sometime right around Labor Day. And if you go to our website, RICCO.org, you can find that information exactly when they will be.
And they can sing any part? They have to be able to read music, I'm presuming.
Yes, and, absolutely. And all parts, we welcome folks into all the parts.
Okay, and the audition procedure, you're just looking for what the chorale might need at that point, right?
Well, yeah.
You're not going to take 35 sopranos.
If they're tenors, we'll take them all because there aren't that many on the planet.
Right. But so check that out, RICCO.org. And Ed, I want to wish you all the best and congratulations, 30 years at the same task of being the conductor, director, and all-around good guy.
Well, thank you very much, Michael.
An amazing accomplishment, and certainly part of Rhode Island's tradition of great music is Ed and the Rhode Island's Civic Chorale and Orchestra. We have one piece of music left, and tell us what you're going to leave us with.
We're going to listen to the last movement of Haydn's Mass in Time of War, which features the timpani to begin with, and it's from this particular segment which the Mass takes its name, Mass in Time of War, or Timpani Mass as well, Paukenmesse in German. And this is the work that features our four student soloists, winners of our competition. And then you'll want to come as well to hear Roger's Sissy's great piece. I think you'll find it a terrific experience to listen to his piece.
All right. We will listen to that. And then the rest of you, we'll see you next time on Conducting Conversations.
Thank you.
Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.